Would you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians? The book of 1 Corinthians, I would like you to begin at chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Just want to read one verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. This is the Apostle Paul under the anointing says this, "Therefore, I urge you to imitate me." I urge you to imitate me. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just want to read one verse. The Apostle Paul under the anointing, chapter 11, verse 1 says this, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Let me read it again. "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I thank you again for your word, and I thank you that you have given us your spirit that empowers us to understand it, to grasp it, and to be changed by it. Before I begin this morning, Holy Spirit, I invite you to come again to possess me, my mind and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what you've shown me to do. With the authority you've given in the name of Jesus, I bind up every demonic bird. I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building in Jesus' name. I declare there will be no interference or distortion as the word goes forth. And Father, I thank you again that you are speaking. I thank you that your children are hearing your voice. I thank you today that you are going to say a pile of things in here that are not going to come out of my mouth, but your children are going to hear it. They're going to know it's you. They will capture it, and they will be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you literally can change everything. And so I thank you that every one of us, I prophetically declare, every one of us will hear from you today. And because there is revelation, there will be transformation. In the powerful and the beautiful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody expecting said, amen. Amen. How many of you were here last week? How many of you? Yep, many of you. Last week, we began a summer series of messages. If you weren't here, I would invite you to go online. You'll have to listen to CastBox. The audio is up there. The video is not. The video should be there this week. And I asked you, those of you who are here, I asked you to write down a title. And then after that, I invited you to cross the title out. And then I had you write something else there. Does anybody remember what the original title of last week's message was? Anybody remember? Karen. Learning to be an influencer. Exactly right. Becoming a person of influence. After I had you write it down, I had you cross it out. Does anybody remember what I invited you to write down after that? Sharon. Recognizing I already am an influencer. And getting to the point of believing it. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And I would like you to go there, if you have it on your phone, if you have it on your Bible. I invite you to set your eyes on it. Numbers, chapter 13. We'll begin at verse 26 in a second, but I would like to paint a picture before we get there. You know that God did some pretty powerful miracles as the people of Israel were in bondage to Egypt. How many years were they in Egypt, by the way, from the time that Joseph went in and his family? How many years were they before they were delivered? Anybody remember? 440. God delivered them. Anybody remember the night that they were delivered? What was it called? That night became something celebrated ever since. What was that night? Passover, exactly right. Someday I'm going to do a sermon, and the Lord's been having me think about this for a long time. Do you know that it was God who led them to the edge of the Red Sea when the sea was still there and the Egyptians were coming and the Israelites were panicking? God led them there. Do you know that it was God who took him into places where there was no water? Do you know that God was the one who took him into places where there was no food? And every time they complained, every time they came against God, they forgot about the fact that God took them, led them there by the fire and the cloud into all those places, and he did it for a reason. Sometime I'm going to do a message on that, because it's like, God, why would you do this? And we will find out why. Took him to the Red Sea, split the Red Sea, opened it up, went to Mount Sinai, got the Ten Commandments, ended up 11-day journey. They ended up at the Promised Land. God had already said to them, I've given you the Promised Land. But before they went in, what did Moses do? He took one spy from every one of the 12 tribes. He said, I'd like you to go into the land. I want you to search it out and come back and give us a report. 12 men did. How many days were they in the Promised Land? 40 days. If ever someone asks you a question about the Bible and you're not sure what it is, just say 40. You'll be pretty close. Because it's 40, 40. How long was he a king? 40. How long was the famine? 40. How long were they? 40. How long were they in there? 40. Like it's 40, 40. How many days was Jesus on earth after the resurrection? 40. I mean, 40 days. How long Jesus in the wilderness? 40 days. I mean, just say 40. And you'll sound so smart. Even if you get it wrong, you guessed it, right? And Jesus, that's right. Yeah, Jesus, 40 days. That's exactly right. That is the account. They went in. After 40 days, they came back. And I want you to turn with me to verse 26. And I just want to read a little bit of this. Numbers chapter 13. They came back, 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them, and the whole assembly showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Anakites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, they live in the hill country. The Canaanites, they live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about what the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people that we saw there are great size. We saw the Nephilim. There are descendants of Anak from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We could go on. We know the account. This morning we are going to look at one of the aspects of influence, and that is the power of the spoken word. We're going to be looking at a number of them over the summertime, but today is the power of the spoken word. I want to give you a truth, and I want to give it to you at the beginning. This is where I'm going at the end, to the end, but I want to give it to you at the beginning. Duncan is going to shoot it on the screen. And I want to encourage you to write this down. When a person is solid in the words that God says, they are not influenced by the words of others. When a person is solid in what God says, they are not influenced by the words of others. Let me give you the inverse. When a person is not solid in what God says, they are very much influenced by the words of others. When a person is not solid in what God says, they are very much influenced by the words of others. Let me ask you a question that I already know the answer to. Is there power in words? Just raise your hand if you believe that. Yeah. In fact, we know that they are so powerful. We know that words carry life. Words carry death, words carry fear, words carry love, words carry courage. I will never forget at a believer's conference, one of the speakers made a statement, and he painted an image inside of me that I've never forgotten, And he says this. He goes, words are buckets. He says, words are buckets. And he says, every time we speak a word, they are carrying something. There are certain words that carry courage that when you hear them from someone, you just feel like, I can do that. And then there's words in a bucket when someone speaks them to you, they are so discouraging, they deflate anything you have on the inside of you, and you go, I guess I can't do it. Your words, my words, are buckets. And when we speak, those words are always carrying something, and those words are having an effect. The only question is, what are they carrying? And what effect are they having? Before we get back to the spies, and I'm going to get there a little bit, I want to give you a picture to help you understand and demonstrate what I'm going to talk about today. I want you to write down three categories. And at the top of this, I'm just going to write, for the sake of today, I'm going to write movie. I could put anything. I could put car, I could put restaurant, I could put a book, I could put anything up there. But just for the sake of it, I want today to talk about a movie. I want to give you a picture to help you understand this. And when I tell you what it is, you're going to go, well, that doesn't seem really important. But I want to tell you that you will soon realize that it is so important that many people gamble hundreds of millions of dollars on what I'm going to talk about today. Hundreds of millions. Jane and I went to a movie about a week and a half ago. The only time we could see it was on a Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, and we don't normally do that, but it was like, you know what, we'd like to go. We went to Edmonton. How many of you have been to RioCan to the Landmark Cinema? Landmark, that's got the really nice cushions, got the seat that go up, it's got the heat in there. How many of you have been there? Yep. How many of you have fallen asleep in there? Yep. Why go to a movie and pay when you're going to fall asleep? That's just all I'm asking. They should have wooden church pews in a theater. That's what I'm thinking, right? Really what it is, though, it's like a sermon. If the sermon is boring, you're going to fall asleep. If a sermon is alive, it doesn't matter what you're sitting on, it's going to be good. That's the same of the movie. If you fall asleep, there's a statement. Angel Studios. We went to see the movie Young Washington. Just raise your hand if you've heard of it. Raise your hand if you have not heard of it. Majority. Can I stop you right there? I want to go back just for a second. I just asked you how many of you heard of it. And I want to give you three possibilities. Most of you had not even heard of it. But I want to give you three things that we're going to talk about today concerning a movie. Three things. I want you to write down negative on the one side, neutral on the middle, and positive on the other side. In the middle. Nothing. You didn't hear about the movie. You didn't hear about it from Jane and I. You didn't hear about it from anyone else in the world. You didn't hear about it in the radio. Didn't hear about it on Facebook or Instagram. It never came across your radar anywhere. Let me ask you a dumb question. What is the likelihood that you would go and watch this movie if you had never heard about it? What's the likelihood? Zero. Guaranteed. If you have not heard about it, you wouldn't go. Can I make a statement? Faith comes by hearing. Do you believe that? Going to a movie comes by hearing. Reading a book comes by hearing. Going to church comes by hearing. Going to a restaurant comes by hearing. Coming to Christ comes by hearing. When I hear something, I have a choice to make. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But if I don't hear anything, I don't have the ability to make a choice. By saying nothing about that movie, were Jane and I an influence in your life as to whether or not you would go see that movie? By saying nothing, did we influence you? We totally did. By saying nothing, we influenced you to not have the ability to go see that movie. You didn't have a choice because we said nothing. The power of saying nothing is incredibly powerful. In fact, I want to tell you, the power and influence of saying nothing is more powerful than saying something negative. Let me say it again. The power of saying nothing is more powerful than the power of saying something negative. And let me tell you why. When I hear something negative, at least I've heard about it. Secondly, if I've heard something negative, I'm hearing someone's opinion about that, and I can choose to agree with that opinion or not, and I can go and go, you know what? I'd still like to see it, and after I see it, I'll develop my own opinion. All of that is robbed from you when I say nothing. The power of saying nothing is more powerful than the negative. In the movie industry, I'll tell you, for people to walk out of a theater and for them to say nothing to anybody is disastrous. And how many movies are totally bombed because people said nothing, influenced millions of other people not to go to the movie because they didn't hear about it, and the movie makers lost hundreds of millions of dollars. Why? Because people said nothing. What you and I talk about when we are with people has an influence on people. What you and I don't talk about when we are with people has an influence on people. And here's the principal truth. And I want you to write this down. Duncan's going to shoot it up there. Would you write this down again? Everyone talks about what matters to them. Every person does not talk about what does not matter to them. How would I know that someone loves dogs? How would I know that? Because they have dogs and they talk about dogs. How do I know that somebody loves eating pizza at a certain restaurant? How do I know that? Because they tell me about Tilly's all the time. How many of you heard about Tilly's? If you haven't heard about Tilly's, you need to hear about Tilly's. Somebody failed by not telling you about Tilly's. In fact, I got to tell you, it was so fun when Josh and Bree got married last summer. We were going to have the rehearsal party, and after the party, we were going to have a meal to eat, and they were talking about buying pizza from Wetaskiwin, and I said, you don't buy Wetaskiwin pizza. I said, I will drive to Tofield and get Tilly's pizza, and I will drive it out to Fallon, where the wedding is going to be, and if we're going to have pizza, we're going to have Tilly's pizza. And Josh and Bree said, you would do that? Tilly's would be awesome. And so there were people who were part of their wedding party just because they heard about Tilly's being there. Well, not quite, but here's the deal. How do you know that I just love my grandchildren? How do you know that? Because I talk about them all the time. How do you know that someone loves Jesus? How do you know that? Because they talk about him. Can I ask you, is there power in not talking about him? What is the message that we give to others? And it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's a movie, if it's a book, a restaurant, if it's about a church, if it's about Jesus. What is the message when I don't talk about it? What is the message that I'm giving to someone? It does not matter in my life. I want to say this to you husbands really clearly. There are some husbands, they talk about their wives. When you talk about them, their wives come up and they're talking positively about their wife and they're thankful about their wife and they're bringing stuff up all the time. You talk to other men and I'll tell you, you never hear about their wife. Their wives don't come up. Now, I hear some men, the negative comes up. But there's some men don't talk about their wives at all. And can I ask you a question? When you are not talking about someone in your life that is meant to matter to you, what's the statement? Man, I won't even charge you for that. Can I say this to you? It is a powerful design of the enemy in the body of Christ to get us to the place where we are not talking about what we claim to be as important in our life. A power design of the enemy. Satan understands the power of words far more than we do. He knows that they are buckets. He knows that they carry something. So that to get a believer to say nothing about things that matter on the eternal level or the spiritual, he knows there is no fear of faith ever developing in someone else's life. Why? Because people are saying nothing. There's no faith growing. The power of not speaking. Becoming an influencer by not saying anything is powerful. It costs the movie industry billions of dollars. It costs heaven billions of souls. Not saying anything is one of the three. Let's look at the second. Speaking negative. Speaking negative. Jane and I go to the show. Someone asks us what we did over the weekend, or we just get in a conversation with somebody and it comes up in the conversation and somebody asks us, or we just bring it up and said, oh, we went to a movie the other day, Young Washington by Angel Studios, and they said, oh, how was it? And we look at each other because we want each other to go first, and then we're trying to be careful about how we put it, and then we put some words in a basket and we send them and we say, it was all right. What did I just communicate? It was all right. How about this one? It was a slow moving movie. Slow moving. How about this one? Took a while to get anywhere. Like, what am I building inside of you? What are my words building inside of you? A desire to go, gee, we got to go see that when we get out of church. Or go, don't even remember the name of the movie. Let's carry on and talk about something important like water or flooding or rain or something. Even if we say, you know, there were some good things in it, but it was a one-timer. How many of you have ever heard someone say about a movie, it was a one-timer? How many of you have ever heard that? Yeah, how many of you have ever said that to somebody? That's a one-timer. Our comment would be, we wouldn't pay to go see it again. Now, if you heard someone say to you, we wouldn't pay to go see it again, what are they saying to you? It is their opinion. It is. But are those words, do they have the power to influence somebody with those words? They sure do. They sure do. Let me ask you, what did our words about that, if we were negative, what did they communicate? In fact, let me ask you, if I said that to you, it was all right, slow moving, took a long time to get there. It was a one-timer. I wouldn't go see it again. I wouldn't pay for it to see it again. How many of you, right after church, would go, we got to go see Young Washington? Just raise your hand. How many of you go see it? Ushers, take him out. Yeah, he'll go with her. Yeah, that's awesome. There's two of you who will go. That's great. What did our words do? And this happens all the time. What did they carry to the other person who is hearing from us in that conversation? Now, after we told you, and if someone later on asked, did you hear about the movie Young Washington, how would you answer? You, even though you heard something negative, you'd go, yeah, I heard about Young Washington. I heard about it. Well, the fact that you heard about it is better than the fact that you didn't hear about it at all. That's why the negative is better than not hearing anything at all. You'd say, we heard of it, and saying nothing keeps you from even hearing. You would say, yeah, we heard about it, but we heard it wasn't that good. And the person would say, are you going to go see it? We go, no, I haven't gone to see it since they said it, and I don't think I'll pay. But if it comes on Netflix or Prime or something, I might watch it, but I'm not going to the theater to do that. Why? Because our negative words had power. I will tell you this, and it's kind of interesting. In church, how many of you remember Wiseman's Way Bookstore? Yeah. It's in the museum now. Bookstores are gone. They're not around anymore. In fact, there's a video store out there that says, the last video store. There's a video store out there. You know, for years in church, when I would preach and I would bring up the title of a book, I'd bring a book up and I'd show it to you. Wiseman's Way contacted me and said, Call, before you are ever going to preach and comment a book, would you phone us and let us know so we can have it in? Because they said, when you bring it up, next day on Monday, the store comes in and they go, often 10 or 15 people are in there going, do you have this book? Do you have this book? And they go, we got one copy. That's all. They said, Pastor Call, would you phone and let us know? And I said, no. That's why they're not around. Thank you, Reg. Can I ask you something that you know? Is there power in negative words? You bet there is. Not as much as in no words, but there is power in negative words. There is power, incredible power. Can I tell you this? Movies lose millions. Restaurants go bankrupt. Books don't get sold. Churches don't grow. People don't get saved. Israelites don't go into the promised land because of what? Negative words. 40 years is quite a price to pay for listening to negative words. The power of negative words is huge. The influence those words have on people is huge. When we say nothing, we are an influencer. When we say negative, we are influencing people. When we say positive, we are also influencing. Let's look at the positive. Jane and I go to a movie. And we end up talking to people, and I want you to think about this. If we talk to people and the movie never comes up, what's the message? Well, isn't really important enough for us to bring it up, and so if it comes up in the conversation, we might bring it up, but if I'm not bringing it up, it's not worth talking about it. We influence by not talking about it. But let me say this, if we end up in a conversation and somebody asks us about our activity, and it's only then that we bring it up. If I have to have someone ask me, and I want you to think about this, there are people go, well, if someone asks me about Jesus, I'll tell them. And can I tell you, and I've said this to people, if you are waiting for someone to ask you to tell them about Jesus, you are never going to talk about him your entire life because the enemy will arrange it for them never to ask you. If I wait for you to ask me about, did you go to a movie, it may never happen. But let me tell you, we don't wait for someone to ask us. We saw this movie. It was incredibly impacting. We go, can I just tell you, last Saturday, Jane and I don't normally do this, but we got up and we went to the city at 10 o'clock in the morning. We watched this movie, Young Washington. Have you heard about it? And the majority of people go, no. That's what they would say. And I said, well, you need to go. It was all about, it was incredibly well done. Angels did a super job on that movie. In fact, even thinking about bringing it into the church to allowing the church to see it, I think it would be worth your $15 to go to that movie. Can I ask you a question? Is there a greater likelihood that you might go? Much greater. To the tune of tens of millions of dollars greater. As the word gets out, as the influence of those words go, it affects the decisions of millions of people and it becomes a hit. Can I give you the principle? Word of mouth. Word of mouth. I spoke to a businessman yesterday about somebody who, in our church, they need something done in their house. And so I phoned a contractor and I was asking questions about it. And the fellow says to me, he goes, I have never advertised. He goes, all that I do is word of mouth. He goes, people tell people and people tell people and they contact me. He goes, that's all I do. I don't ever advertise. He goes, the best advertisement is word of mouth. Is it true? Just on the side. Jane and my first date with her best friends was at Stage West Dinner Theater, Mayfield Inn. How many of you have been there? Stage West? Yeah. We enjoy the dinner theater. We do it whenever we can. You go and have dinner and then you have a live show theater after a musical, whatever. Years ago, we went to a show. It wasn't on our first date, although that was our first date with friends, with her best friends. But years after that, we went to a show called The Foreigner. Anybody ever hear of The Foreigner? Yeah, one person. We went to see the show, WKRP. How many of you remember WKRP? Yeah, more of you remember that. Okay, how many of you remember Gary Sandy from WKRP? Right, he was the main radio guy? Yeah, he was the one, they flew him up, went to Stage West, and he was the main actor in the drama The Foreigner. Jane and I went there, we watched The Foreigner, and we saw it, and it was so good. It was so good, we said to my parents the next time we saw them, and again, my mom and dad were ancient, older than we were, but we said to mom and dad, guys, we'd like to take you, we saw a drama that was so good, we'd like you to see it. It was a comedy. And so we took my mom and dad, and we went and we saw it again, our second time. Mom and dad saw it. They probably didn't enjoy it as much as we did the second time, but it was so good that about 2 or 3 weeks later, we said to some of our other friends, we went, you know, there's a show at Stage West that we went to see. Would you guys like to go? We already saw it, but we'd like to go see it again. We didn't tell them this was our third time, but we went and saw the show the third time, and it was awesome. They enjoyed it thoroughly, but I'm telling you, we did not wait for people to say, well, what'd you do in the weekend? We said, man, Saturday we went to see Stage West, and there was a show, The Foreigner. If you ever get a chance, go and see it. Can I tell you, I don't think we were the only ones, because The Foreigner was packed out. The Foreigner, they extended the stay over a number of weeks because the shows were sold out. Do you know why? We were a part of the word of mouth. And people's decision and money was influenced by what they heard us say. The power of words influenced their decision. By the way, if you ever get a chance to see it, see The Foreigner. It is a great theatrical production, The Foreigner. It is great. But I want to say this. You and I are influencing people all the time, whether we know it or not. Every time you open your mouth, when you are talking about something, your words are saying something, and every time you don't open your mouth, you are saying something. When you are saying nothing, you are saying and influencing people's lives. When you say negative words, you are saying something, and most all of us know the influence that those negative words have on people's lives or have on our lives. And when you say positive words, you are saying something, and all of us know the influence of those words in our life. I have to tell you, it doesn't matter if it's about a coffee shop. I hear some of you advertising with your words. It doesn't matter if it's about a church. Some of you advertise. It doesn't matter if it's about a grocery store or if you're talking to somebody in the middle of the field or at a family gathering. It doesn't matter where you are talking to people. Your words are influencing people's lives. And by the way, their words are influencing us. We'll talk about that more when it comes to spiritual things. Let's go back to the book of Numbers and the spies. I want to end on this. Too positive. Give me the names of the two guys who spoke positive. What are their names? Joshua and Caleb. Can I ask you a question? How many children do you know by the name of Joshua? If anybody knows a Joshua, just raise your hand. Yep. How many of you know any kids that are named Caleb? Just raise your hand. Yep. If you don't, just go across the aisle over here and just check it out. Give me the names of the other 10 spies. Give me the names. Did someone say loser? Can I ask you a question? Why don't you remember their names? Why don't you remember? Why haven't parents named their children after the 10 with a negative report? Why? Why did the other two names, Joshua and Caleb, begin to rise up, and Joshua and Caleb became the names of children and have carried on? We're going back 3,000, 4,000 years, those names, and still they're being named today. Can I ask you a question? Is there influence, when you speak positive words, does that influence people's decision for thousands of years, even naming their children? The 10 negative. And here's the famous words those 10 negative spoke in Numbers 13:33. We look like grasshoppers to them and to ourselves. You wanna remember the name of those 10? Just call them grasshopper. And here's what it says. Those words carried fear. That's fear spread among the Israelite camp. That fear began to affect people in spite of what Caleb said, in spite of what Joshua said, in spite of what God said. Can I make this really clear? God is the one who already told them, I've already given you the land. Before they went, I've already given you the land. Can I tell you? The moment Joshua and Caleb got it in their head, this is God's word, regardless of what we see, regardless of how big they are, regardless of their cities, this is what God said. Can I tell you? When you have God's words firm inside of you, the negative words of men will not affect you. But if those words are not solid, and can I tell you something really clearly? Just because a person is a Christian and a believer doesn't mean the words of God are solid inside their head. That means the words of other people and negative words are still going to affect them. Over 7 million people were kept out of the promised land because of the negative words of the 10. And they believed them. It's not like nobody was speaking the truth. Nobody was speaking the positive. Caleb and Joshua were shouting it. They were speaking it. The negative drowned it out. And 7 million people believed the negative words. Can I tell you the two things, the result of that? Number one is, everybody above 20 years of age in the next 40 years in the wilderness died. Not one of them saw the promised land. Is there a consequence of believing negative words? I'll tell you. It cost them the promise. Can I tell you the other consequence? Can you tell me what happened to those 10 men? What happened to them? They died. How did they die? Say it again. Inconsequentially, let's get really practical. How did they die, guys? How'd they die? Pretty close. God killed them. All 10 of them died in a moment. God killed them all. Can you imagine for a moment what would happen to a church if God killed all the negative talkers? You know, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of quiet today. I had person after person and family phone me all week long. And we're going on holidays. We're not going to be there. We're on holidays. And I said, great, go on holiday. I said, that's awesome. This is the time of year. Man, you know, you expect the church to be empty and people to be gone. That is super. I'm glad about that. Can you imagine what would happen if God killed every negative talker in the church? You'd walk in and go, did I miss something? Yeah, you missed the cleansing. God's removing all the negative talk. God's removing all the ones who don't talk at all. We live in a day of grace. He's not wiping us out the way he did back then, but can I tell you, the power of the spoken word, saying nothing, is more powerful than the negative. And can I say this? It's more powerful than the positive. Do you know why? When I say nothing about Jesus, a person doesn't have the ability to choose to reject or accept. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What kind of people ought we to be? Let me just tell you, it's not about what we ought to be, it's about what we already are. You and I are powerful influencers in the lives of people all around us. It's already happening. The question is, what is the influence? I just want to end by telling you about one person, and I want to talk to you about them because they are already in heaven. This person stands out, and they were, I would say, one of the more powerful influencers in this church for a number of years. How many of you remember the name Mel Weeb? Okay. Mel Weeb, I don't even know how Mel and Donna found the church. I don't remember. Mel Weeb came in, and I'm so glad Kelly, his son, is here today. Mel Weeb came into the church, and I will never forget when he came in one Sunday, he experienced worship and the ministry, and he heard the message. And when he walked out the door at the end of it, he was like, wow. He goes, this is a place where I need to be. And over the time, Mel began to do what Mel did so greatly, which so many in the church don't do. Mel walked out and said nothing to anybody. I say that and you laugh about it because piles of people in the church do that. They walk out and say nothing to anybody. Mel walked out of the church and Mel formulated a statement and he said, a church alive is worth a drive. And Mel began to talk. Mel talked to people in Edmonton and they began coming. Mel talked to people in Millet and they began coming. Mel talked to people in Wetaskiwin and they began coming. Mel talked to people in Red Deer and they began coming. Mel began to do. And his words had power in people's lives. Some of you are here today because of Mel Weeb and his words. I remember the early years of the church. We had a college and career group that was about 120 young people. They got together every week. They invited me to go to their meetings. They invited me to the campus. There were two young men. I don't even know how they found the church. There was two young men who came to the church. And they experienced the church. They experienced the worship. They experienced the message. They experienced all of that. These two young men went out. And they said nothing. Because that's what most church people do. They walk out and they say nothing. And by their nothing words, they influence how many people? Every person who's not coming is influenced by them saying nothing. These two young men went out. They went back onto Augustana campus. These men began to speak. They said, we just went to a church on Sunday. You got to come. It only took a number of months before that college group was about 40, and then it turned into 60, and it turned into 120. Its prime was 120. We had 120 college kids coming and sitting in the church apart from everybody else in there. Why? Because the power of their words. I'll tell you what you know, and we're going to talk about it all summer. A church that has no influencers is a church that begins to die. A movie that has no influencers that are going out there and share, that movie will die. A restaurant will die. It doesn't matter what it is, will die if there is nobody. Word of mouth. Church, you and I are influencers. And as I said to you last week, and we're going to be talking about this all summer long, some of us are in this category. We are influencing by saying nothing about those things that matter. Nothing. Some of us in the church, and I wish I could say it's not true, but it's true. Some of us in the church, it would almost be better for you to say nothing, but what comes out of your mouth? There's an area we can all grow in. And we're going to talk about how to do that. And this is what the Lord said to me, Carl, if you're going to influence people, why not influence them for the positive? I'm going to share with you, and we're going to talk about this later. Do you know you can walk into a group, a room of people, they could be believers or non-believers. Do you know that God has the ability to give you the power to change the entire climate of that room with one short statement that comes out of your mouth? Every room is looking for a person of influence to turn it to the right. And let me ask you a question. If it's not you and I, as a believer, filled with the power of God, who's going to do it? I'll tell you where we're going. Over the summertime, God is wanting every one of us in this place to recognize that we are a person of influence, and our influence is being used by God in order to bring people to a greater place, give them opportunity to choose, having them walk in greater power, greater hope. You and I becoming influencers, people go, I remember their name, Joshua, Caleb, Colin, say your name. That's where we're going. I'll just advertise ahead of time. The first Sunday of August will not be a prayer Sunday. I know what's going off inside of some of you because we never see you on prayer Sunday. But because of this series, it's not going to be prayer Sunday, first Sunday of August. I need all the Sundays of this summer to talk about this series, recognizing we are an influencer and how to become what God wants us to be. That's going to be all summer. So you can take the X off your calendar that's already on there, erase it, and go, I guess I got to go to church that Sunday. Dana, can I have you? Can I have you come? Can I ask you a question? Did you get anything out of this morning? Anything? Yeah. Would you bow with me? Would you bow with me this morning, Father? Wow. When you spoke to Solomon and he wrote down in obedience, life and death is in the power of the tongue. When you created us totally different than any of your creation, you made us speaking spirits. The power of your words caused all things to come into being. You created with your words. We are not ignorant of how the enemy works. We are very aware that he knows the power of the spoken word and the unspoken word far more than we do. But Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you. You are waking us up. I thank you. You are revealing that as speaking spirits, we are people of influence. We are people of power. We are people you are wanting to flow through to change the climate and environments and people's eternities. Father, we want to declare today that we are wanting to be the Joshua and Calebs of our day. Not so that our name is remembered, but because when you spoke a word that seemed impossible, the land is yours, we believed it. And in spite of what we saw, in spite of the negative words, in spite, we held on to your word going, God, if you said it. Father, Camrose is needing Joshua and Calebs. Alberta is needing Joshua and Calebs. the lost in our world are needing the Joshua and Calebs who are not afraid, who open their mouth and faith comes by hearing. Father, I thank you that you are beginning to prepare our hearts and our minds. I thank you for what's going to happen over these next number of weeks as we spend time in your word and as you begin to reveal to us more and more and more the calling upon our life to be those people of influencing, changing people's lives and eternities. We want to be those people. Forgive us, Father, for those times when we have said nothing and did the greatest damage of all. Kept people from ever hearing, kept them from ever knowing they had a choice. Forgive us for saying nothing. And we invite you to be Lord over our tongue. Father, I'll never forget when John Alley made a statement and said, every demon is looking for a tongue. Well, Holy Spirit, we are saying to you, we surrender our tongue to you. Let your words flow through our mouth. Let there be life. No brackish water. Let there be life that comes out of our mouth. Let us be those who speak truth, those who speak love, those who speak. And as a result, you have something to work with. And faith rises up. God, we don't care about the millions that don't go to a movie. We don't care about that at all. What we care about is the billions who may miss heaven because no one spoke. And so, Father, everything that was from you today, let it be remembered. Let it be sealed. Holy Spirit, would you bring it back? I release an anointing over every mouth and every tongue as we walk out of here today. Father, it's not by surprise that you say one day we'll give an account for every word that has come out of our mouth. Thank you for the power of forgiveness, and thank you for beginning afresh today. If you are here or you are listening, and there has never been a time in your life where you have prayed that prayer to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth your words and believe in your heart, you will be saved. I want to invite you, if that is the desire of your heart, I want you to invite you to pray after me and just say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again from the dead. The Bible says it, and I believe it. I invite you now to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit. And empower me to be the kind of person you created me to be. Let my words be used by you to bring more people to faith in you. If you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Church, would you stand this morning and receive the blessing of the Lord? The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his beautiful face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace and a revelation of the power of influence in your life. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving it said, amen. God bless you, church.